Okie dokie, folks, and welcome to Monday Night Shaw right here on the Backbreaker Media Network. I'm your host, Kyle Shaw, a.k.a. The Canadian Goose, and on the show today, a man who has probably been on Monday Night Shaw more than anyone else. This is probably like his fourth, maybe fifth podcast. It is, of course, Cameron Stevens. Cameron, how are you, brother?
I am tremendous. What's going on, Goosey? How are you?
Oh, you know, I'm living life. We're in the midst of lockdown, so there's not a whole lot going on. It's a little boring, but chill. You know, I did, full disclosure, this is being taped on the 23rd, so I did just watch the new Mortal Kombat movie, and that was pretty sweet.
How was it? I haven't seen it yet.
I didn't even see the trailer for that.
Oh, it was good. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm of the age where the original came out when I was like 12. So I love the original like Mortal Kombat movie. And the new one just like, I liked it, but I think that the parts I liked about it most were like the crazy, like violent, gory kills and stuff, which were missing from the original Mortal Kombat. But I did like the characters and stuff from the original a little better, you know?
Is Jade in it?
Pardon me?
Is Jade in it?
No. Jade is not in it. They had Malina.
Oh, okay.
And Sonya Blade was in it. I was surprised Johnny Cage wasn't. I was like, oh, Johnny Cage is like one of the main character.
Especially if Sonya's in it, yeah. You would think Johnny would be in it too.
I mean, yeah, just based on like the video game lore or whatever. I know that like the main character, it was weird. He was like an ancestor of Scorpion, but I don't think it's a person from any of the games. I think it's just like somebody they made up for the movie. And I was like, that's a choice. Like, you got so many Mortal Kombat characters. Like, it wouldn't have been hard to just change that into like, okay, it's Johnny Cage, or, you know, this could have been Liu Kang or somebody, but you know, like he meets Liu Kang, and at the very end of the movie, he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna go find Johnny Cage or whatever." But it's like he's not Johnny Cage is not in the movie at all. So I was like, "Oh, that was weird," but you know, I still liked the movie for sure. I it was much better than Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Which one was that? The old one?
It was the sequel to the old one. Have you not seen Mortal Kombat Annihilation?
Oh, dude, I haven't seen the old Mortal Kombats.
Oh, you haven't seen the original, like, Mortal Kombat? The one with Homeboy from Highlander as Raiden?
No, but that sounds tremendous.
Yes, you should watch that before you watch the new Mortal Kombat movie, for sure. Because, like, it's like I say, I'm of the age where when that came out, I was right there with it. Like, you probably weren't even fucking born yet, or were, like, maybe 2 years old, you know, because the movie came out. It came out, like, 1996. So, you know... Like, I was right there for it, and I loved it. But, the sequel, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, is horrendous. It's awful. Yeah, it's really, really bad. But it's one of those ones which is, like, so bad that it's good, you know? Like,
I was going to say, that answers the question I was about to ask, is it so bad that it's good? Because if it's so bad that it's good, more often than not, like, you can sit through and watch it. But if it's not, if it doesn't even hit that barrier, it's like, oh, well, why am I watching this?
No, it's absolutely a so bad that it's good movie. And I do remember when I went to see Mortal Kombat Annihilation at the movie theater. I was 12 years old when Mortal Kombat Annihilation was in the movie theater, because I remember... I lived in Victoria at the time, and I sort of lived on the outskirts of Victoria in a little like community called Langford, and Victoria was like the main downtown place, and it wasn't showing in Langford. So I had to drive all the way downtown, get my mom to give me a ride to this movie theater downtown, and then she just dropped me off there. And, you know, I walk up and I'm like, yeah, I'll take a ticket for Mortal Kombat Annihilation, please. And they're like, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 12. And they're like, well, this movie is rated PG-13. And I was like, oh, well, like, my mom gave me a ride from Langford and she's left. Like, what do you want me to do, right? And so they were gracious enough to let me in and to just, like, you know, they were like, kayfabe. And so I went in and I watched the movie and I remember.
Well, at least they were nice about it.
Yeah. I thought that was really great of them. I mean, the theater in Langford, the same year a James Bond movie came out, Tomorrow Never Dies, and they wouldn't let me in. And my mom actually went down to the theater and, like, gave them shit and everything, and they still wouldn't let me in because she didn't want to go with me. But but anyway, so I went and watched this Mortal Kombat movie, and it was, it was not good. And then I was like, oh, because the first Mortal Kombat movie, like, at the very end is, like, a cliffhanger for the sequel, right?
Yeah.
And so that, like, I was completely stoked to see the second one. And then I went and saw the second one and was like, oh, I think that might be the first movie I've gone to see in a movie theater where I was like, oh, that was really, really terrible.
Like, that was not good at all.
Yeah, no. I mean, it kind of saves it at the very end scene is memorable and gave me the goosebumps every time I watch it. But it's you have to sit through the entire movie to get there, and it's the special effects are horrible. The, like, every time anyone gets hit in that movie, they fly like 50 feet backwards. It's crazy. Yeah. And eventually I did get to see the James Bond movie too, because my grandmother, who lived in Langford, she had two handicapped fellas that lived with her, and she was like foster parent for them, and she had been my whole life and whatnot, so they're adults. And so the next day I went with Doug, one of the handicapped fellas, and just rolled up to the movie theater, and they're like, hey, aren't you only 12? You came here last night. And I was like, yeah, but Doug here is 36 and I'm going with him. You know. it didn't matter that he was really, really handicapped, like down, like severe autism, you know,
like, oh, yeah.
Was definitely, it was a situation where even though I was 12 and we were going to the movies, I was taking care of Doug rather than Doug was taking care of me. But legally I was allowed to go watch Tomorrow Never Dies because I went with Doug. So shout out to Doug. I haven't seen Doug in a while, and I love him to bits. Anyway.
Hopefully Doug's doing well.
Hopefully Doug is doing great. We have spent 7 minutes talking about Mortal Kombat movies and movies I couldn't get into as a child. This is a wrestling podcast, so how's the wrestling scene going out in Newfoundland there? I read on Travis's thing there that you guys might be starting up soon.
Yeah. Depending on when this gets posted, I may or may not be able to disclose some information.
Okay, well, let's just assume, because like I've already said, we're taping it on the 23rd of April, so I don't want to get anyone in trouble. So if there's anything that shouldn't be said, then let's just not say it.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so let's just say there is a...
But there's a plan in place, obviously.
Yeah, there's some dates coming up, and they're going to be deadly, for sure.
Awesome. I know that Squig just put out the poster for an RCW show May the 29th in Radway, so hopefully that show is going to be good to go as well, so that then we're both wrestling again, and that would be a lot of fun.
Oh man, I seen that poster actually. I very much like that. It's one of the better RCW ones I've seen in a long time. So shout out to was it Dave that did that one?
I think so. I'm pretty sure.
Well, shout out to Dave because tremendous work, brother.
Yeah, I got to get Dave on here one day. Of course, not to kill the magic or anything, but Dave is affectionately known as Barricade through the wrestling circles. And actually, me and him...
Dave's not here, man.
We formed a tag team pretty recently, and we contended for the tag team championships in a couple of matches, me and Dave.
Oh, man, I bet that was a fucking, like, just a dream.
Oh, it was fun. One of my favorite matches I had last year was Halloween night. It was me and Barricade against Vince Austin and Tony Machete. And it was Dave's idea for me to dress up as Barricade. So he brought like an extra set of his gear and I wore the Barricade like chains and stuff out to the ring. It was a good time. Yeah.
Did you wrap the chains in feathers?
No, we didn't. I tried to convince Dave to go as the Canadian Goose for the match too, but he didn't have any of it. Also on that same night, there was a battle royal earlier in the day, and it just ended up happening to come down to me and Dave at the very end. And I was like, oh, okay. I probably should have tried to get myself eliminated here earlier than this, so I didn't have to like face off with my tag team partner. And then, you know, two matches later, we team up. But that's what happened. And, you know, it was a good sporting match. And I loved it. It was a good time. And I think that Barricade is fantastic. He's one of my favorite wrestlers for sure.
Oh, man. Always best kind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I have a bad story about him, to be honest with you.
I have never heard anyone like crap on Barricade at all, you know.
Yeah, like that's one of those things where it's like a lot of people, like I'm sure, would have negative stories about me, but like I can't really think of anything negative about Dave, really. Like he's tremendous.
I haven't even heard anything bad about you, you know. I mean, like I think that's just like a wrestler's mindset thing, you know, and probably it's something that confidence does a good job on, is that, you know, we all kind of think that everyone else is talking trash about us when they're really not.
That's probably a very good point. Yeah.
Like I remember like a couple of weeks ago or like before everything got shut down, I went to training and I was kind of early, and Taryn from accounting, like, she showed up and she was like, "Hey Goose, you want to go grab a coffee?" So we went to get a coffee at the Timmy's, and when we got back, I was in a bad mood or whatever, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm here and I'm trying so hard because I don't want people to think I'm the shits." And she was like, "You know, like nobody thinks you're the shits. People don't say that behind your back or anything." And I was like, "Oh, okay, cool." Like, because you know, I think like just as a wrestler, we often like are our own worst critics. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of hard not to be most times.
Yeah, and I mean, don't get me wrong. There's complacency is never a great thing. And while confidence, you know, is important and stuff, if you go walk around like thinking your shit doesn't stink, that's probably not a good thing either, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
I think humility goes a long way too, so. Anyway, out in Newfoundland, what else you guys got going on? I've heard that you, of course, had a baby recently.
Yeah, yeah. December 17th, 2020. Maisie was welcomed into the world and is currently feeding as we speak. Yeah, she's been... Definitely, dude, it's one of those things where I'm just at a loss for words. It's just so, oh man, it's amazing. It's fucking phenomenal, man. It's, oh God.
Yeah, it's gotta be like a life-altering situation for sure.
Oh man, I'll put it to you this way. Like when I look down at her and she's got that gummy smile on the go, because she hasn't quite started giggling yet, so when she gets that big old smile on her face, holy shit, like that solves most problems of the day.
You should see that smile when it's moving her mouth. It's fucking hilarious.
Right on. Well, it sounds like your wife is there too, Deeka.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning to me before the show started that Deeka's got some photography stuff going on. Does she take pictures at the wrestling matches and stuff?
She started to recently. So New Year's Evolution night 1 and 2, she was doing pictures for NEW. But, hopefully she'll be doing them in the future. But mostly she does like just regular old photography. Like she does portraits and like obviously promo pictures, newborn pictures, maternity pictures, outdoor stuff, landscape pictures, pictures of animals. But one thing that might interest a good chunk of your viewers is she also does boudoir pictures.
Boudoir pictures? Is that like porn?
I mean, you're going up the right, like it's the right it's the right mindset, sure.
It's tasteful porn, not vulgar.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's like Playboy, not Hustler.
Yes. a lot of lingerie stuff, some nudity, but not much.
Right on. I don't know why you think that my listeners would be interested in that, but
hey, man, I know that's up your alley, and anyone like you would likely be into the things you like. Hey,
wait.
We're all adults here. Oh my god, a sexy goose photo shoot. Oh my fuck, that'd be tremendous.
Jesus. Oy. I think
put some feathers in some risque places.
I wouldn't be really interested unless I could make a lot of money.
So I just got clearance from Travis to tell and talk about the dates of our next set of shows. So awesome. The two dates for the next set of shows. And as of right now, I've seen a version of the poster and it looks beautiful. As of right now, the dates are June 11th and 12th.
Nice. Do you know who you're going to be wrestling?
Not sure yet, but it's likely going to be something deadly for sure.
Have you settled all your differences with Jeremiah Javen?
I don't know what's going on with me and him, man. There hasn't really been much back and forth with him lately. After that Last Man Standing match, it's kind of been settled.
Right on.
But you know, in my eyes, as far as I'm concerned, you know, the issue with Jeremiah Javen isn't really something that's ever really going to end. It's something that's going to come back eventually. It's something that's it's going to come back up. It's going to have something happen where Javen pisses me off, or I do something that makes Javen all butthurt, and one of us is going to go at the other, and it's going to be what it is, right?
Yeah.
But for the time being, I've got my eyes set on whether it be championship gold or just being I can possibly be.
Y'all are like the Raven and Tommy Dreamer of Newfoundland. He'll never beat you.
I absolutely loved that feud. Raven and Dreamer are, oh man, it's tremendous.
Yeah, and I mean they did some great stuff. Like they did all the way through ECW, and then they went and they did that the big show for TNA. Did you ever watch the like TNA version of One Night Stand where Dreamer and Raven fought, and then like I think Sabu and RVD had a match as well?
Oh yeah, and the Gangstas made an appearance.
Yeah, yeah. The weirdest thing was when they brought in like a fake Blue Meanie. It wasn't like the real guy.
The Blue Tilly.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, I still enjoyed it. It was good.
Oh, that was fun. The best part about the Blue Tilly is that when everybody shit on him, then everyone beat the shit out of him. It just made everybody happy.
You know,
that was fun. I like that show.
One of the things I like about all the guys over in Newfoundland is that occasionally, like, you guys are like super friendly. Like the wrestlers in Newfoundland are some of my favorite people. I was like sitting around here a couple weeks ago. Like I have horrible sleeping patterns sometimes, so I'm up all hours in the night watching movies and stuff. And I think it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. I got like a call from Aziz and Justin Locke. And they just called me to bullshit. So we ended up like
yakking
for like an hour. And I've never even met Aziz. And Justin Locke, I met, but when they told me it was them, like I say, it was like 5 o'clock in the morning. So I thought that he had said it was Jeremiah Javen. So this conversation went on for like an hour, and I thought I was talking to Jeremiah Javen and Aziz. And then it turned out it was Justin Locke, and I was like, oh, hey, man, how are you? Like, it's been a while.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, like, is there anybody like out there that you talk to a lot out in Newfoundland? Like,
here lately, man, I've been just sticking to myself for the most part. Like, I talk to Travis on occasion. There's a couple wrestlers I talk to on occasion, but you know, nothing extensive on a regular basis. You know, obviously Jordan Aries, I still have a very good relationship with.
Okay. I was going to ask you if there was anyone out here that you call in and chat with once in a while.
Oh yeah. I gives you a shout occasionally. There's a handful of those AWA students I'm pretty tight with.
Oh yeah.
That I actually knew a good few of them before they started training. I knew them back from my days in Airdrie.
Oh, right on. Do you know Danny Savage?
Don't know Danny Savage very well. He's talked to me a little bit, but not too much. From what I've gathered, he's from out this way, if I'm not mistaken.
Last I heard, he lived in Airdrie, so that's why I thought maybe you knew him. What about TJ Cannon? Do you know TJ Cannon?
I've talked to him a little bit. I've heard good things about TJ.
You mentioned something to me about Cat Twitter. Like you've got a venture going, something to do with Cat Twitter. I don't know exactly what Cat Twitter is. Can you explain Cat Twitter and what your venture into Cat Twitter is?
So, on the basics of it, we have our four cats, and all four of our cats have a Twitter account, and each one of their Twitter accounts is they're basically talking as, we're talking as the cats, basically, and okay, interacting with other cats as our cats and stuff like that, right?
So it's like a cat role-playing thing?
Essentially. So one thing that Dika used to do when she was doing it the first time around was she actually used to do fundraisers and stuff like that to try to, like, help, whether it be, like, local kitty shelters or cats in need or whatever, right? Like,
okay,
she would do that kind of stuff, too, and we're looking to start doing that kind of stuff up as well. But yeah, we're starting our own little brand around our cats and our cat Twitter, and it's called Fatal Forepaws.
Oh, awesome!
Because you know, four cats, each one of them have their own special paw, right? Like each paw looks different, right?
Okay.
So what we got for the logo is each paw, obviously, to resemble each kitty, and the ring around it is the color each cat likes the most.
Oh, okay. And is that like the cat's actual favorite color or like,
oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like we found Shadow usually goes for green. He really likes green stuff, green toys. Like his first blanket was a big green blanket. Big fuzzy one.
He Little really Bean loves usually, the catnip.
Oh man, Little, he does actually. Little, Little Bean loves red. And I feel like the main reason why red is her color is she actually used to play fetch with a Santa Claus hat.
Oh, okay.
Like, we would throw the Santa hat across the house. She'd run, grab it by the pom-pom on top, and bring it back to us.
That does, like, I mean, when you think about it, Santa Claus hat does seem like a great cat toy.
It really does. Like, there's a big pom-pom on the end. Like, they can kick at the actual hat. It's tremendous. Yeah. It's funny, though, because she'll get defensive over it. Like, if she's playing with the hat and, say, Jelly or Flame or Shadow come near her, she'll start growling and hissing at them.
Oh, really? So, like, is that what you're going to do when the Fatal Four Paws thing is just put that hat in the middle of them and start trying to cause some beef so they'll fight for Twitter? Or?
Oh, Jesus, have the Santa Claus hat on a pole match.
There's been worse things suspended on poles for sure.
Oh, but yeah, so with Fatal Four Paws, basically what we're doing with it is it's essentially a cat oriented little project of ours that's essentially just to either bring smiles to people's faces, or if there's a kitty in need that needs help, we'll try to find a way to help them. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, this is something that the family is working on as well. Like, something that myself and Dika and the kids are able to actually work on, especially as Maisie grows up and actually gets to see this kind of thing progress, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's, like, an interesting thing I didn't really think about. But, like, because, like, when I was, like I say earlier, I was 12 years old when Mortal Kombat Annihilation came out, and there was no Twitter, you know? Like, if you wanted to go use the internet, you had to go to, like, a library or, like, the school or something, and it was, like, dial-up, shittiest internet you could use, and there was no YouTube, there was no Facebook, there's no Twitter. I don't even think there was, like, MySpace yet, like. But Maisie's, like, been, like, born into this world where, out of, like, before she's even a year old, cat Twitter is a part of her life.
Oh, man, like, even Coden, too. Like, Coden was born, what, 2008? Mm-hmm. So, like, I remember we were going through the WWE Network, and we actually found an episode of, I asked him what show he preferred, Raw or SmackDown. He told me SmackDown. I said, okay, cool. Let's see what show we can find the closest to your birthday. You remember that episode of SmackDown when The Undertaker had an Extreme Rules match with Jeff Hardy, and Jeff Hardy was, like, on the verge of turning heel, but he wasn't, like, no one wanted to boo him. It was right before he won the championship.
I don't know. I remember the ladder match they had, but that
was... Oh, I'm talking about, like, 2008, like, late 2008. No,
that would have been after Jeff Hardy, like, got fired and came back.
Oh, yeah, the second time around.
Yeah, because, like, the ladder match would have been when Undertaker was, like, the American Badass or whatever, which was, like, 2003, so...
Oh, yeah, that one was a classic, too. So this match, basically, Jeff Hardy was the aggressor and kind of taking the more heelish approach. But, yeah, so when we were looking through it, that show was actually the same day that Coden was born.
Oh, really? Was there – what can you remember any of the other matches that were on that show?
I'll be honest, I really can't. That was one of those things where I was such a big Jeff Hardy fan and was just dying to see him win the championship, dying to see him win the big one, that, like, at that time, nothing outside of him really resonated.
Stop painting.
I'm a huge fan of Jeff Hardy as well. I really like him. I could have probably done without the match between him and Sting.
on the TNA pay-per-view. Remember that one where he showed up all messed up or whatever?
Yeah, Victory Road. Yeah.
That's definitely
it's unfortunate.
Yeah. Have you ever had a situation where you had to wrestle somebody that was like in an altered state?
Not off the top of my head. I mean, I remember seeing the Jeff Jarrett thing happening at RCW that one time, but, you know, I wouldn't say that's anything that would be... I'm not going to say it wasn't a bad thing, because obviously that wasn't good. And
yeah.
But on the bright side, it did lead to Jarrett getting himself some help, so...
Mm-hmm. And I mean, nobody got hurt, which is good.
You know? Oh, absolutely. And to be perfectly honest, it's one of those things where thank God that, you know, everyone was okay. And, you know, Jarrett's got himself in a better place now that's, you know, positive. And
yeah, he's completely like cleaned up from what I've heard, which is good.
Oh, absolutely. And it's another thing too where it's like Jeff Jarrett actually is someone I quite enjoyed as a kid too, because I was always watching TNA when I was younger. And as much as Abyss was always my favorite TNA guy, awesome. Jeff Jarrett was definitely one of my go-tos for TNA, like, for the longest time. King of the Mountain, man.
Were you there at that show?
The Jeff Jarrett one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wrestled, I think it was Andre Williams.
Oh, okay. The big fella from Quebec?
Yeah.
No, I of course, I'll never forget that show. The Jeff Jarrett one.
I know why you won't forget it.
Yeah, you were there. Like, I think 10 minutes before the show, I finally mustered up the nerve to go and, like, ask Jeff Jarrett what his hometown and his weight was, and he spent half an hour making fun of me. But, it, you know, it's a story I'll always remember and whatnot. And like I say, it is good that he's gotten his act together or whatever, because, you know, it was a thing. But I didn't take it personally. Like, I wasn't like, oh, he's, you know, Jeff Jarrett is an asshole or anything. It's nice just being a bit of a drunk dick. That's all.
Well, and it was more so one of those, like, man, like, this is just sad. Like, I don't like this. This is someone I enjoy. Like, I don't like seeing them like this, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, thankfully, he's got himself situated, and his Hall of Fame induction was deadly, actually.
Yeah, 100%.
I really enjoyed it.
And then, like, I think it was, like, the next WWE guy that they brought in was Al Snow, who was like, just to steal a phrase from you, like, best kind. Like,
oh, I love him.
Al Snow was completely awesome. Cause, like, you know, Jeff Jarrett, I think, was probably like the first WWE guy that I ever like really like met or tried to interact with like at all. And so like, it wasn't a great experience. But then when Al came in, it was like, oh, there is, like, these guys are nice guys and stuff, you know? So.
Oh, man, have you seen Al Snow on Facebook?
I think I'm friends with him on Facebook, yeah, but I don't bother him or anything.
Oh, he posts some of the funniest shit, man.
Oh, really? I mean, he's so knowledgeable about the business. So I love watching, like, going on YouTube and stuff, and like sometimes watching like seminars and stuff, and there's some great Al Snow ones on there. And if you are a young wrestler and you're listening to this, just like search up Al Snow seminars on YouTube and you'll learn a ton of great things.
Oh, he's amazing. Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
One of the better seminars I had taken, to be honest with you, was Al's. Al was awesome.
Yeah, I like, he came in before I started actually like wrestling. I was only the ring announcer at that point, so I didn't really partake in the seminar, but I do remember eavesdropping on it pretty much the whole time.
That makes sense.
Yeah. and everything he said was like really great stuff. Like, he's got some really great info about like a punch being like one of the like the only relatable move that wrestlers can actually do. So, you know, the wrestling punch is kind of like the fakest move in wrestling, because everybody's been punched in the face and nobody sells it the way wrestlers sell getting punched in the face, you know?
It's a very yeah. It's one of those like, yeah, like, I don't know how many street fights I've seen where Buddy flicks his entire head back, takes a bump, like...
Yeah, or the one where you get the guy in the corner and you mount the middle rope and you hit him in the face 10 times, and you're like...
Comes out looking super clean.
Yeah, like, nobody's bloodied up, nobody's got a broken, you know, skull or broken knuckles or anything, but, like... That's one of those ones where that kind of stuck with me, but it's definitely been something that's been like, okay, and then you go and do the old 10 punch to me in the corner, like when I'm discussing like putting matches together with people, and I always just inside cringe a little bit, like, oh, I don't want to do that, but, you know, also I don't want to tell this guy that, no, I don't want to do that, you know?
It's like, no, it sucks, I'm not doing it.
Well, I definitely wouldn't say it, like, with that accent or whatever. But, like, you know, the thought crosses my mind sometimes when it's like... It's not my favorite thing to do, just because I know that it is pretty phony, you know, the old 10 punch in the corner.
Yeah, I find one of my favorite things that I do here lately, I've started using the butterfly suplex.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty legit move. There's not a lot fake about that move.
I like that move. It's fun. Especially because, like, when I do it, I try to get some height and a little bit of a spin. So I don't know. I try to make it look a little bit fancy. I don't know.
Nice. I know that, like, another move that I always thought was kind of fake was the old school, like, just basically an Irish whip. You know, where a guy like whips you by the arm into the ropes or whatever. And I was in the ring with the Giant Orion, and he did that to me. And I was like, oh, no, this move is completely legitimate, because he did it to me. And I went to take the buckle, right? And he whipped me so hard, I didn't even have enough time to fucking turn around. So I ended up taking the buckle like chest first, because like, he whipped me so hard. It was crazy.
I've, been there. Those are all, like, those buckle bumps always look the best, too, because you're just fucking eating it.
Well, no, I was running towards it, and I was like, oh, I gotta turn around, but I don't have time with the, like, the amount of speed I have here, so I just ate it, like, chest first, because I honestly couldn't turn around. Like, I had so much momentum, and don't get me wrong, Giant Orion is, like, you know... He's huge, absolutely massive, and strong as a fucking ox. So, like, that also is probably a contributing factor. But it definitely, like, I was like, oh, no, the Irish whip is legit. Like,
oh, yeah. If someone gets a little excited, they can launch your ass.
100%. There's all kinds of, like, great wrestling maneuvers and stuff like that. Can we just go back to cat Twitter for a second? Like, do the cats like cut promos on each other on Twitter? Is it like, do they trash talk each other, or like, do they have like distinct personalities?
Oh yeah, they have distinct personalities, and like, they talk about certain things that they like. Some cats talk with like, it's almost like a baby talk almost. Okay. Some cats have that. Some cats talk normal. But actually, there's one thing we're trying to start up here. As of now, it's basically going to be a... It's basically going to be like a little story gimmick where we put a different story out every week about it.
Okay.
But basically what it's going to be is the KWF, the Kitty Wrestling Federation.
Oh, solid. This sounds and like the sort of thing that Bubbles runs out of the shed.
And the cats are going to have their own gimmicks, right? And the humans are going to be the managers.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I wonder if you guys can get book Ted Hart's cat.
So the funny, like, and like eventually down the line, whenever I'm actually able to figure out how to do it, I want to turn it into like, whether it be a comic book or a cartoon or whatever, like just fun stuff to do, you know, ways to express creativity. It's just all around for fun and to see if people enjoy it, and hopefully they do, because again, it's a fun thing, and hopefully people agree.
I mean, it sounds good, and like if you guys are like raising money for like charities and stuff, then all more power to you. I hope that at least like one of your cats starts every tweet with "Hey yo." I don't know why, but one of your cats should be like the Scott Hall of cat Twitter. Hey yo.
I feel like if any of them would be, it would be Shadow.
You don't know why I'm here.
And he's like, look, I found your snack on phone.
Yeah, Shadow's a snacker. Actually, he's definitely the foodie. I'm working on a Fatal Four Paws website as well, as a obviously one for Deka's photography, and I have my own for wrestling. But
that's got to be the most random website of all time. You go to it, and it's just like classy porn and cat pictures.
Oh, no. The photography and the cat ones, they're two different sites I'm working on. But the Fatal Four Paws one is where I'm going to have like the outside of wrestling merchandise too. So like if we have merchandise for like her photography or the cats or Coden's YouTube or something or whatever, you know, like we're able to have it there. I also done up a design, the KWO Kitty World Order. Yeah, I figured you'd get a kick out of that. But yeah, basically what the website is as of now is a About Us section, so everybody has their own page, basically like a roster page for the family.
That's fantastic. I'm joking about it, but I think it's great. Like, I know that people love their pets and stuff. Even my mom has a Facebook account for our dogs.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
It's called Frankenweens, and my dog, because when we got it, she had Frankie and Austin. Austin, he died a while ago. He had to be put down because he was like, you know, he was really old for a dachshund, because we have dachshunds. But after he died, Mom just kept it as Frankenweens, and now it's a like a dog Facebook account, all like, She posts all from like Frankie's voice or whatever, and it'll be stuff like, oh, me and Bits had to go to the dog tour today, and you know.
Oh my god, I love it. Yeah, basically the same idea. And like before I got with Deka, I had no idea that that was a whole subgenre of people that, like, there's a whole bunch of people that are into that kind of thing, whether it be their cats, their dogs. Some people do it for like reptiles.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, bunnies, all kinds of like pets are online and having these sort of personalities. It's kind of it's kind of adorable when you look at it on the 100%. Surface. It's one of those, like, I mean, like, there's been people after wrote Dika saying, like, hey, I've had some real gnarly shit go down this year, and looking at your cat's Twitter really, really helps me get through the day. And realistically, like, that's the end goal of all this sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, we really just want to, you know.
You know what the wild thing is about it, too? I think my mom's dog, well, like, our dog, Frankie, I'm pretty sure he has, like, 5,000 followers on Facebook. I'm not even kidding you. Like,
oh, yeah.
Over 5,000.
Same thing on Twitter.
That, like, that's crazy. Like, my fucking dog is way more over than I am.
Oh, yeah, same. Like, all my cats could easily outdraw me in a heartbeat.
I just want to put this out there. Maybe you could put up a little thing on the cat page. I do do art of people's pets for money. So if anyone wants me to draw a picture of their cat or dog.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
I totally forgot about that.
You can there, like, good samples and stuff, and I have it, like, linked to him if they want to contact him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Send us some of your animal drawings and pictures and stuff like that, and we'll definitely put a section on there for you.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I do them up on, like, canvases and stuff. I sell, like, an 8x11 canvas for, like, $45. Because, you know,
I've seen the ones you do. They're fucking gorgeous.
Yeah, I did a couple for Jordan Aries. Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
I didn't see those.
Oh, man. Goose has some. Oh, he is awesome. But, yeah, he has awesome work, man.
Yeah, so if anybody.
What do you charge for a picture?
Like I say, $45 for, like, an 8x11 canvas. And I mean,
okay, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's just because, like, I have to sit down and put a bunch of effort into making them, right? So.
Oh, absolutely. It takes a whole bunch of time.
Trust me, from Crafter, I get it.
Oh, yeah.
And then actually, for bigger ones are, like, more expensive, but it's just because it takes more time.
If you want to get a little more in-depth on cat Twitter, Dika can explain it pretty well because she's kind of the master of it out of the two of us. She got me into it. So Dika runs Flame and Shadow's account. I run Beans, and Coden runs Jellies because that's his Sookie cat. So yeah, but I'll get Dika to explain cat Twitter a little more if you'd like.
Sure.
Okay, well, honey, how would you explain cat Twitter and maybe drop a story or two?
Cat Twitter.
Get a little closer to the mic so we can hear you clearly.
Sorry, I'm sewing up a thingy here. I'm making play mats for play dates, man. So with cat Twitter, like, there's more cats on Twitter than people, I swear. A lot of them just get on and be like, yeah, this is my day. And, like, instead of, like, the people, like, their humans get on and act as the cats. It's like their cats go on saying what their daily lives are like. Basically, they have jobs, you know? Shadow's job is he's security.
Okay.
And security and a food tester.
Protecting the house from vagrant mice.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So there was one day where there was a mouse in the house. I didn't know it was a mouse. And I seen him. I was like, oh, you got a toy, did you? You got your toy. He put it down. It ran across the floor. I screamed, jumped on the chair. Oh, my God, it's not a toy. So, yeah, that was on Twitter. And everybody's all like, yay, Shadow. He's just like, yeah, I scared mommy. Ha ha. Yeah, it's nuts. He has more followers than Cam does. It's ridiculous. I ended up getting into it because, like, my ex, I needed a break, to be honest with you. So I just got on Twitter for a while and I seen all these cats, and I was like, eh, I have a cat. Screw it. See what this is like. And my ex hated
you could
it.
Like if you could make up your own cat. Like, do you even need to actually have a cat to have cat Twitter, or can you just
not really? Because like I've seen fake cat accounts. Yeah.
Do you think that when they get found out that their cat account is fake, that people like get like uppity about it? Like, hey, you're not legit. Like, no shit, Sherlock. Like, no cats are actually doing their own Twitters. You know what I mean?
Like, if they find it that, like, the cat is not real, like, there actually is no cat at all,
yeah.
Then people get sometimes get somehow.
Yeah, like, do you think people right? get sooky about like, that? No.
Some people, like, I've had people send stuff to Shadow because, like, I do a lot of fundraisers and stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've had people sending me stuff, and it's all like, sending cat toys. So if you don't actually have a cat and they're sending cat toys, it's kind of a waste to that person too, right?
Oh, that's true. I mean, but like every, like you don't have to go far to find somebody that has a cat if you want to just donate those toys to someone else.
Oh, yeah,
that does
that's
have a cat.
For sure, yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Even if you don't have a cat, like your neighbor three doors down is probably going to have one, you know?
Like I just glitch by the door and go, a cat's going to come running somewhere.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You put yeah. a bowl of milk out on your patio, and by the end of the day, you'll have a cat.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Hi, Maisie.
It's their baby Twitter. Like, have you guys started an account for Maisie?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that. But should we get some
That's kind of, like, a little bit more creepy, don't you think?
Yeah, she'll be on Flame's Twitter, and he's just all like, yay, this is my person.
Oh, okay.
Right? He sleeps with her all the time. It's the cutest thing.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. A few years back, there was a cat shelter rescue place here that was, like, really low on stuff, so they asked for donations. So I went to Twitter, and I made up a Amazon wish list. I ended up with like $400 worth of cat supplies to bring to the shelter.
Jesus, that's incredible.
Yeah, and that was just from one thing. In a span of 2 years, I think it was like $5,000 raised.
I'd be like, my poor cat broke the TV, and now we need we need a new TV for my cat.
Usually with fundraisers is like if a cat has a lot of problems and there's like a lot of vet bills racked up.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Right?
I'm just,
and it's like some of them is really heartbreaking stories, especially if you're on there every day and you're seeing like the different daily lives pictures and stuff like that and stuff that they're at.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden something happens, it's like, no, okay, yeah, no, I can't deal with this today. No, I can't Twitter today.
I mean, yeah, that's definitely true. Like, I mean, I'll go on to the Facebook and like, I mean, like I was saying, my mom has an account on Facebook for the dog, right? And like, there's other dogs that are friends with our dog. So yeah. Once in a while, like you'll see like, oh, you know, homeboy from the, you know, from the other dog or whatever. And some of them are really cute, and the people make like actual like parody movie trailers starring their dog and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Have you guys done anything like that for your cats?
I've had pictures and stuff done up. Like, now it's been a while, so I can't really remember offhand.
Just like cat cosplay and stuff? Like your cat dressed up as like Captain America?
Oh, yeah. Like, that's the cutest thing ever.
It is right? pretty like, cute, yeah.
For us, like, our cats are, like, from Newfoundland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so you're in Alberta, so, like, your cats would be, like, from Albertia.
Okay.
And we got Canada is, what's that, Canada?
I think so.
Canada, and there's a Meowica for America, for Americans. They're Meowican cats. Right?
So, yeah, fuck yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff, right? And every day is a different thing. So like Monday, like if a cat is all like loafed up, you get pictures where their arms are tucked in, it's like cat loaf Monday and tongue out Tuesday and whisker Wednesdays, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Every day is a different thing. It's fun.
Yeah, you should
get a pet and put on Twitter. It's fun. Yeah.
100%. I
I wonder if What About Ivan's cat has that, because I'd see that What About Ivan is always constantly posting about his cat Smoke. And I wonder.
Nanny has her cat on Instagram.
Who's that?
Nanny has 2,000 on Instagram.
Do you know any of the? Do you know anyone in the wrestling community besides yourself that has cat Twitter?
Twitter, no.
Twitter, no. I think Natalia has her cat on Instagram.
Oh, that's right. I do. I follow Natalia's cat on Instagram.
Me too.
Two paws, right?
Yeah. I'll be honest. When her dad died, okay, the first thing came to my mom was, oh my God, poor Two Paws. Because his grandpa died.
You're totally right. There's constantly pictures and like videos of like TJ Wilson doing bicep curls with the cat. And I've heard that Teddy Hart has trained, like Teddy Hart, you know, take him or leave him as a human being, but I'm sure his cat is a good cat, right? But
judge a kitty by its owner.
Yeah, 100%. But I've seen like videos, and his cats are trained and how to do like. Well, I swear to God, his cats can run spots in fucking wrestling matches and stuff. Like he's trained his cat how to do a moonsault and that kind of shit. Like it's amazing. Pardon me?
Beanie used to do those when she was smaller.
Oh, yeah, and sometimes when Jelly's playing, she'll do them.
Just, like, cat moonsaults. That's incredible.
Jelly's going to be a boxer. She's been, like, stealing balloons lately, whenever she finds balloons. So whenever she steals them now and I find her, I take the balloons and I put them on her paws. And then she kind of goes crazy like she's a boxer on a friggin' speedway.
Have you ever wrestled a person with a cat gimmick, Cam?
I don't know, obviously my gimmick's more of like a rocker gimmick and less of a cat gimmick, but, you know, Steel Panther is kind of the closest thing.
Oh, that's true, yeah, Steel Panther. I can think of, you know, Prince Puma.
That was Ricochet. Yeah.
Right.
Lince Dorado.
Oh, yeah, he's deadly, too.
Yeah. Kat Von Hees, who I don't think her gimmick is that she's an actual cat, but her name is Kat.
I would still be a cat, yeah.
Well, that's actually, like, a great idea. Maybe Deeka can be your manager, and she's, like, a cat, like a cat woman. Type thing, and you can paint your face, and you can go out to the ring with Cameron and bring the cat with you and have it do moonsaults onto his opponents and shit. just like, you know, throw the cat at Jeremiah Javen, like, so it claws onto him.
Yeah, claws him the fuck.
That'd be amazing. Anyway, why don't you give us all the plugs for your social media? Let the people know where they can follow you or follow Shadow or Beanie or Jelly or Fire? Did you say Fire or Flame?
Flame.
Flame, okay. So the Fatal Four Paws, the Fantastic Four of Kitties. Where can people follow all you guys?
So as of right now, the websites for both Mama D Photography and Fatal Four Paws are under construction, so those actually aren't up yet. However, you can follow the cats on Instagram at Fatal Four Paws for all of them. On Twitter, Shadow is at Shadow Smush. Flame is at Snickle Flame.
Cut.
Bean is at Mama Little Bean, and Jelly Bean is at Jelly Bee Iron Guts.
Okay, awesome.
And Iron Guts is her nickname because she will eat anything in sight. She is a, she, I swear to fuck, she's trash like compactor. A, yeah, she's like a trash compactor on four paws. It's nuts.
My dog Bits is like that. The other day she was eating asparagus. I didn't suspect dog would ever want to eat asparagus, but they'll like cucumber, carrots. Oh well, like spaghetti, I can see because it's usually covered in like meat sauce, right? But
oh my god, so jelly! If we have a banana out, Jelly will smell it. She'll urge like gag, like she's gonna throw up. It's hilarious.
Oh really?
Yeah.
And then how about the big cat, Steel Panther? Where can we follow you?
Oh, well, me, I'm at...
There's another cat guy, big cat, Ernie right. Ladd.
Oh, tremendous. He was awesome. I would say for me, at Cameron Stevens Zero on Twitter, at Cameron Stevens Wrestles on Facebook and Instagram... TSPCameronStevens.com and shit, what else? The Steel Panther Cameron Stevens on YouTube. I'm on TikTok at TSPCameronStevens. I'm on Snapchat at TSPCamStevens. What else? Shit, I think that's about it. And if not, fuck it, go to my link tree, which is in my description for the majority of my social medias. Follow that because all my links are there. And I will eventually be putting the links up for Deekus Photography at MDPhotosNL on Facebook. And,
ooh la la. Looking forward to that.
If I'm not mistaken.
Right on.
And yeah, I think that's everything, man. We're trying to keep as busy as we can with this pandemic on the go. So
solid. Well, thank you so much for coming and doing the show again. It's always fun chatting with you. And it's
absolutely,
always
brother.
Great to catch up and whatnot. And I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you to Deekus for coming on the show, and also for Maisie, because we heard her on the show too. So way to go, Maisie, making your Monday Night Shaw debut. So thank you to the entire Steel Panther, Cameron Stevens, Cat Twitter. You guys are taking over. Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland.